I think in general, everyone wants to be happy in their life, but probably people are not actively taking steps to get happier or maybe do some research on what makes us actually happy, what doesn't make us happy in general, because there's so many studies out there, models and all of that. And most of the time, something, let's say, unfortunate needs to happen in someone's life before they start reprioritizing life and looking into that part.
Hello, and welcome to the Connectedness Podcast. Just as you might have guessed, I talk about connection and connectedness on this podcast, our connection with everything in the world around us. Whether you see it or not, we're all connected, and it doesn't matter if it's our dog, our cat, our God, our body. And I'll also talk about some more abstract connections like our career or our land, our community, our emotions, your body. Life is all about connection, so the sooner we recognize that, the sooner we can have an easier, more meaningful life. I will talk about these connections through different lenses, things like synchronicities and coincidences, or just everyday little bits of magic and miracles that we usually dismiss. It's really important that we pay attention to all of this so we can live an easier, more meaningful life. So welcome to the show. I'm your host, Karen Cleveland. Welcome back to the show, everyone. I am excited to have you here listening and watching today. So today I'm talking with Christine, who is a marketing and creative startup coach, founder of the Creative Startup Academy, and author of multiple books, public speaker, podcaster, workshop facilitator. So she's really about getting this message of happiness out there. She has worked in marketing and advertising for more than 12 years before she decided to start her own business, supporting startups. So double bonus if you out there are an entrepreneur and starting your own business, because she can help with that as well. But she's helped hundreds of individuals validate their business ideas and create successful startups, as well as working with small businesses to get clarity and marketing around their business. She sees entrepreneurship as a way of life and loves the passion that comes from working in the industry. So welcome to the show, Christine.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was a lovely introduction.
Well, and it's so lovely to have you here. So we're talking about, you know, not only, but a little bit about the happiness formula today. And tell us where that started. How did you start, you know, thinking about it, doing it? What triggered it? And yeah, I'm just going to let you talk about it.
Yes, thank you. I think in general, everyone wants to be happy in their life, but probably people are not actively taking steps to get happier or maybe do some research on what makes us actually happy, what doesn't make us happy in general, because there's so many studies out there, models and all of that. And most of the time, something, let's say, unfortunate needs to happen in someone's life before they start reprioritizing life and looking into that part a bit more. And usually people are too caught up in everyday life, in work, especially if you're an entrepreneur as well, or even if you're employed, of course, you just get caught up in your work and daily life and daily challenges, giving also, let's say, a way to problems that might not be as big as you might think. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's usually what's happened. And that's also what happened to me and is still happening to me. I think this search for happiness is an ongoing thing, and of that work-life balance and all of these things that people are looking for. But for me, it was a few years back where I was misdiagnosed with a brain tumor, which really triggered my search for happiness and my reprioritizing life journey, which, I, like I said, is still ongoing because there's nothing that you can change overnight. You have your rhythm. But back in the days, I was working really too much. I'm still working a lot, but I was working too much. I was working 7 days a week. I was working at least 10 to 12 hours a day. And I didn't have much time for friends, family, or a lot of social life or anything like that. And then this diagnosis came, which obviously shook up a bit the life and made me revisit things. Yeah. So in a nutshell, that's it. And I can talk a bit more about the journey of misdiagnosis as well.
Well, I'm curious, because that must have been a traumatic event by itself, you get diagnosed with this. How long did you live with that diagnosis?
For 3 months. So I was, let's say, lucky. That was back in the days where I was living in the UK and I was having private health insurance. So it was, in quotes, fast.
Right.
otherwise, you would wait longer. But with multiple blood tests, scans and everything, it just, let's say, took 3 months from then the doctor to say, good news, it's not a brain tumor and you can just forget about everything that happened the past 3 months. And
wow.
Obviously, it's not what you can do. Even though I'm someone who's very good in putting things away and ignoring if I have to. So also back in the days, I was getting on with my everyday life because I was having so much on and so many things to do and planned that I carried on. But obviously, in hindsight, I know it really was tearing me down and I was getting extremely stressed about the situation, which everyone around me could feel as well.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure.
It made me revisit everything and reprioritize things, working less and so on.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So you said that people generally need to have an event to reprioritize.
Yes.
Because we do. We just get comfortable or stuck in a routine. We don't even think about it sometimes, right? Until something shows up in our face.
Yes.
So what did you do? How did you reprioritize? What was that system that you went through to find happiness?
So one thing is that I was like, okay, I don't have the right balance, as people say, this work-life balance, and I didn't make enough time for people around me, loved ones, family or friends or anything. Back in the days, I wasn't in a relationship. And so what I started doing is revisiting things that I'm doing in my business to get some time for myself also back. I didn't practice any kind of self-care for myself. So one thing I did was, because it was also just before the Christmas break where I was going to go back to Germany, where I'm originally from. So I had time planned to take out of work anyway. And I was like, this is a good way to start something new and to prioritize self-care. So what I did is I started an 8 weeks mindfulness course through stress. No, mindfulness way through stress course, like this way around. And basically it was 8 weeks where you do meditation, some yoga, and just understand the concept of mindfulness more. And like I said, I took that 2 to 3 weeks break anyway. So it was easy to implement. And then it was easier to carry on because I already did 3 weeks. And when I went back into the working life, I continued with that. And the next thing I was doing is to see, okay, what are the things that I really don't have to do in my business? I asked myself the question, okay, what happens if I don't do that? And a lot of times the answer was nothing. So it won't have a positive or negative change on anything, effect on anything. Hmm. So I dropped that task, let's say. And this way I started gaining back, let's say, my weekend. So I started not to work on a Sunday. Then I started not to work on evenings. And then I started to have a proper lunch break. So not answering emails whilst I'm stuffing food into my mouth just to not faint because I'm hungry, but taking a break from the screen and maybe taking a walk. I started then taking back my Saturday. And all of a sudden I had, even though I had my own business, which is often a problem, I had a regulated working day and hours as well. So I started working 9 to 5. Like lots of people do that don't have their business also, obviously.
Yeah.
It's also doing overtime from time to time. And that's basically the first approach that I did. And then I started to introduce some other techniques. So I had, for example, mindfulness day on a Sunday where I switch off all technologies and just do things that I wanted to do in a mindful way that day. That might have been yoga, that might have been going running, might have been going for a walk, it might have been painting or cooking or whatever it was. But something completely out of this whole technology and world around you. I was just basically within my own world in a slow and mindful way. And these were like the first steps I took. And then intentionally, I set up regular catch-up with friends, regular calls with my family to ensure I really am there as well when I'm talking to them. So rather than washing the dishes whilst I'm talking to my mom on the phone, I was trying, okay, now I'm giving you my full focus here, which had really a positive effect all around.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. People know when you're listening to them, I think, or actually talking to them, focusing on them. Do you still do mindful Sundays? Do you still go out of technology for a day?
It's a bit more difficult because I'm now living with my partner. And obviously, we do that together, let's say, when we go out into nature. We do that quite often where we switch off technology and we are together, but it's not just me focused. What I do have is like a 2-hour morning routine for myself to have also that me time and to get set up for the day. And the other day, of course, in which we touched upon earlier as well, is that curiosity and willingness to learn more about happiness and what does make us actually happy in life and how can I be happier in my life and then actually help others to be happier with that as well. So part of what I'm doing with the startups and entrepreneurs is also that side to discover more about work-life balance and happiness in general, which then led me to create that happiness formula that you mentioned as well.
Yeah. So let's talk about the happiness formula, because I think you're right. I think everyone would like to be a little bit happier. So what can you tell us about that?
So I like when I have a structured approach with things. And I think a lot of people do, because you can say, oh, you need to be more mindful. You need to be more this. Right. But what does it mean? And how can you actually implement that? And a lot of the books, so I read every book I could find about happiness. I became a certified happiness facilitator. I did lots of research and read all kind of studies and stuff. And then over the amount of about 4 years, I created this formula that I came up with that I think is a step-by-step approach that can help people. And I'm using the acronym SMILE with that because I think it's very appropriate.
Yes.
And basically stands for start your journey, which is all about understanding happiness and knowing yourself and understanding mindfulness and what kind of role that plays. Then it's the M in SMILES is for make sure you're ready, because often we sabotage ourselves because of past traumas or misconceptions or things that are happening that keep us from actually being happy. And it also talks a bit more about neurolinguistic programming and what kind of role that can play. The I in SMILE is implant happiness into your brain. So there we talk a bit more about the science and the brain again and the biology, what's actually happening in the body. We have the L, which is learn about the models. So I'm going through some of the existing models that are out there and just explain them so that people understand what's actually out there. And then the last part is the E, which is engage with tools. And there I actually say, okay, what kind of tools and apps, and so not just technology, but other tools like meditation as well, can you actually use to implement certain things? So overall, roughly, that's what it is. Happy to go in and out, dip in and out into some of the points, if you like.
Yeah, you know, I was just wondering, I think it started with the S, that do people even know what makes them happy? I was actually asked today if I celebrated something that I had achieved. And, you know, I said no. And I was thinking, well, I don't even know how I would celebrate that. You know, what's a celebration, which is a little bit different than happiness, but still, I think sometimes, you know, what does make me happy? I don't know. So do you find that part challenging with people sometimes?
Yes, for sure. It's very difficult and it can also change over time. So once you found something, well, this makes me happy, then that might change over time because maybe circumstances change, you change, your values change.
Right.
I think one thing that's really important to understand is also the difference between happiness and joy, because people use it in the same way, but it's not.
Yeah.
Well, if you talk about happiness, it's generally a more long-term state of being. And it's characterized by a deep sense of contentment, satisfaction, and fulfillment. So it's often associated also with a sense of purpose and meaning of life, let's say, or meaning in life. And it's usually influenced by the factors, like I just said, values or relationships or when you accomplish something. So that's more the long-term underlying state of mind. And then joy, on the other hand, is usually more a fleeting and intense emotion. And that's often associated to a particular event or experience. So when you go traveling, when you do maybe skydive and you jump out of a plane and this adrenaline rush is there. So it's often characterized by these feelings of excitement and delight, and can also be brought on by a range of experiences, like I said, or you achieving a goal, spending time with loved ones, and so on. So that's, I think, very important. So we can have lots of moments of joy that will feed also into your happy state. But you can be a happy person and be sad. Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's, I think, good to understand. So you can be, in general, be content and happy with your life. But that doesn't mean that you can't be sad or shocked or something that happened in your life. On the other hand, joy is really that, okay, in that moment, I have that joy because I'm sharing this or I achieved a goal or something. And then it's really a deep dive and observing a lot of what actually feeds into your happiness and what can make you happy. And you can start by what doesn't make you happy, what doesn't give you joy. That's sometimes easier than knowing what does actually.
Mm-hmm. Hello, beautiful souls. It's Karen again. Today, I have something special for those of you that are looking to infuse your days with a routine that brings you positive energy, peace, connection to self. If you've ever wanted to start a daily spiritual practice, but you have felt daunted by the idea, you're not alone in that. And I understand that setting aside hours for meditation or self-reflection just isn't feasible in our busy lives. So that's why I've created a guide that's tailored just for you. It's simple, effective, and the best part is it takes less than 10 minutes a day. So you don't need to overthink or overwhelm yourself. This is just about opening your heart and mind to small, powerful practices that are going to help bring immense positive changes. In this guide, you're going to find easy, accessible ways, and you get to pick the best way for you to connect with self, with soul, with the world around you. So if you are ready to begin a journey that nourishes your soul, that brings you closer to the oneness of life, visit RevKarenPodcast.com. That's RevKaren podcast.com. And look for the box that says, change your life with a simple daily routine. It's completely free, and it's a wonderful first step towards a more fulfilled and connected life. Now, back to the podcast for more insights and inspiration. That makes a lot of sense to me. I want to ask you to clarify something. So our happiness can be set or something, our level of happiness. So it's kind of like our baseline, right? Or, if I understand that right. Mm-hmm. And it can be fed to by moments of joy. And so if we're doing joyful things, that can lead to our overall happiness. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is one of the things. And for sure, celebrating is another thing. So you mentioned that. So celebrating, and again, that is something that I always struggled with because I'm someone who's just doing things. And then, for example, I published the first book and I was like, okay, let's move on to the next one. It wasn't like, yes, wow. And I worked on this for years and I achieved that and I celebrated that. I didn't. I should have. Then I've learned to celebrate in different ways and everyone can do celebrations as they wish and as they think it's suitable for that situation. Because a celebration can be also, okay, I earned myself a relaxing bath now just for myself. And it's just the conscious being that you achieved something that you worked hard for. And then now I can breathe and that was actually me. It can be a hug for yourself. You can hug yourself. You can tap yourself on the shoulder saying, well done. That can be a celebration. That can be dancing through the living room with your favorite song. It can be shopping. For some people, it's okay, I earned this now. It can be a night out with friends. It can be a movie night in with friends. It can be a restaurant, whatever that can be. And then there's lots and lots of science around and studies what actually doesn't make us happy and what makes us happy. So I can give a bit more pointers, if you like, about the things that they discovered that make people happy in general.
Yeah.
Because there could be like parts that people can tap into. So one is, of course, these joyful moments. But this is, and like we said, joy is connected usually with experiences. So investing into experiences, not into material things, will give you joy. So because you will remember and you will create feelings. And a lot of times there's this saying, I don't know if I get this right now, where people say, people don't remember what you said, but they will remember how you make them feel.
Right.
And that's exactly that, because you're creating feelings and that lasting memories that will help you and give you a sense of personal growth as well. So investing into experiences is one. And then savoring these moments of joy. What does that mean? It's just like trying to elongate them, make them longer. And so you have that joy moment. How can you make that last longer? So maybe you share it with other people. Maybe you celebrate it. Maybe you jump up and down the room and you say, ooh, I did this or something. Yeah, I don't know, whatever that is. But trying to savor that moment and come back and back to that. I mean, there's also in neurolinguistic programming, you can do this anchoring where you anchor back to that feeling and then tap into that feeling again. So that's another thing. So creating and investing in experiences and then savoring those moments. And then two things that people, and probably you have already heard as well, is gratitude and kindness. And that means if you have a gratitude jar, a gratitude journal, or just gratitude thought moment of the day or something, that really helps you to rewire your brain to see things you will be grateful for the next day as well. So I write down, for example, every day, three things I'm grateful for that day. I do that usually on the evening because then the day has passed and I know what I'm grateful for. People sometimes do that in the morning. I find that difficult because then I tried that and I came up with, oh, I had a good night's sleep. I'm grateful for that. Oh, I have a roof over my head. But it's nothing specific. Right. But when I do it in the evening, what was actually happening in that day, maybe someone in the supermarket smiled at me or I don't know, whatever it was on that day, it was a lovely sunny day. Then that is a nice way to finish the day. And also it will create your brain in a way so that in the next day, you're on the lookout for things you're grateful for. So you see more positive things. And then the kindness thing is the self-care we talked about at the beginning, but also being kind to others is really proven that this feeds into your own happiness. So not just to yourself, but if you're kind to other people, that gives you a good feeling and that you achieved something, that you helped someone else. That actually is really feeding into your happiness, because what happens is that what they say, the good feel chemicals in your body, like oxytocin and dopamine, they come up when you do these things, when you're kind to yourself, when you have joy, when you're kind to other people. And if you increase that level of these chemicals in your body, then that makes you happy.
That makes sense, because I guess it does. Being kind does evoke feelings of, well, I guess feeling happy, feeling good.
Yes, exactly. And then the last thing is social connections in general. So we talked about investing into experiences, and if you can share those with others, even better. So if you can join a club, a book club, a networking group, if we're talking about professional things, that really helps you. And I had people who were quite introverts and let's say hermits that really love being at home by themselves as well. They love that. Then the extremists said they might be a bit anxious, sort of anxiety and things like that. So for those people, I understand it's a bit more difficult, but I really would suggest give it a go because really it will help you if you find the right friends and the right group of people, of course, and it will feed into that happiness level.
That brings up a good point, though. So if you're with the right people, I'm sure you've seen experiences with people you're working with that they're not with the right people, right? So their friends are bringing them down. Do you have any ideas or any advice around the groups that you're hanging out with and how to manage that?
Yes. So if it's on a professional level, it's quite easy. You just leave that group. You don't even have to usually justify or anything. If you're talking about a personal level, so if we're talking about friends or something, then that might be a bit more complicated. I would always try to find an open dialogue and not blaming people or say something's wrong with you. You're always negative or you bring down my energy or you're sucking up my energy level or whatever that is. So never blame that other person. Also, if it feels like that, you can try to find an open dialogue and say, when that situation comes up as well, you could say, you know, I'm quite tired. I can't talk about this for now. And I'd just rather go home and have a good night's sleep or something. So you don't blame the other person. You just say, your state of mind is at the moment like this. And you're not in the right mindset for that situation or that talk. So that's to get out of a situation. But then maybe see if you can have an open dialogue and talk about, look, I feel is really very pessimistic the way you see things always. And I try to be more positive. You can also, instead of saying that, you can say, you know what? I'm trying this new thing. I'm trying to have a gratitude journal. Do you want to try it with me?
Yeah.
what comes out of that instead of saying, you're not the right person for me, which I did in the past as well. So I'm German. We're a bit more direct. I cut out people of my life, really, because they exactly for that reason. And I was okay to say it the way it was as well.
Yeah.
However, in a nicer way, maybe might be to say, I tried this new thing. Do you want to see this as well? And let's do that together or something, or just have maybe less meetings with them as well, or less appointments, let's say.
Right. So back to, I think it was the third step, but I'm not sure. And it's like elongating the joyous moments. What
savoring.
Did you call that? Savoring. So that's a little bit like, do you think that's a little bit like gratitude? Because you're reliving this moment and you're obviously grateful for that moment. Do you feel like maybe that's the link in it? Is that, you know, in the gratitude, like you said, helps us look for more gratitude, and savoring those moments helps us find more moments like that to savor?
Yes, for sure. That can be. And another thing, it's really about being aware of that as well, because sometimes you're not even aware, okay, this is a great joyful moment, because then again,
right.
Okay, let's get on to the next point, whatever is happening in life or at work at that point. So really consciously stopping for a moment and thinking, oh, okay, maybe think about where you feel it in your body, because usually emotions we feel in our body, and there's this, and people might have seen those, where certain parts in your body are warmer or colder depending on your state of emotion. So if you're angry, or if you're hungry, or if you're happy, when they did with this infrared camera and to see where in your body is the most heat for different kind of emotions, is really interesting. So just stopping for a moment and realizing, okay, this is really cool. I'm really full of joy now. I could jump up and down the room and do that even. And then maybe say, if you're in a room with other people, hey, I just have this amazing moment. Do you want to share it with me? And you talk about it a bit more. Or maybe in the evening, you go home, you can share this moment with your partner. So just coming back to that, or you, like you said, do that in the gratitude journal or gratitude jar. So it's really expressing that in a verbal and physical way, and being conscious about it is the first step.
Fantastic. Now, what's your method for conveying this formula to people? Do you do classes, you know, the book, or one-on-one with people? How do you work with people?
So I wrote a book. So that was the first step that came out about a year ago at the time of this recording. So that's the happiness formula as a book, where that's not just a theory, but it's really like a workbook as well at the same time. So you read, and then there's space for you to write to answer some questions. And this way, you really get pushed into action. You don't just read about something and then you forget about it. So there's a task in there. Okay, now reflect on this, or now observe yourself over the next week, and then come back to this and write down the things. And then it really depends. So I'm developing other things around that. Of course, there will be in my academy, there will be then also an online course. There's already a 7-day challenge around that. And then when I talk to people, then usually we create bits and pieces that come out of that. But the easiest way, if someone wants to pick it up, would be, okay, I have that book now and I can work my way through every step myself if they want.
Right. And you have a podcast as well, right? And is that directed at happiness or at marketing startups?
That's basically directed at startups.
Okay.
And everything has to do with that. It has to do with happiness and well-being, but also marketing, communication, and starting your business in general.
Okay. I'm definitely going to incorporate these steps. I love these steps that you've laid out, that, well, like the happiness formula. So I really appreciate it. So can you tell people where they're going to find you? Like, what's your website, or what's the best way to find your book, to find you?
Yeah. So everything about me, and also find me. So I'm most active on LinkedIn. And if you're looking for the book or anything that I'm doing, is to go to creativestartupacademy.com. And there you find everything. So in the footer, you find all my social media, to my LinkedIn as well. And in the top, you find also the resources, including the books as well.
Okay, that's fantastic. Well, it's been a joy to talk with you and to hear about this. I can feel your passion about it as you're talking about it. And I think that just makes it so much better and attractive. And for those of us that do get stuck in our routines, and maybe we don't need to have a defining moment that we reprioritize this, you know, maybe it's just time if we're not feeling we're as happy as we could be. So Thank you so much for being here, Christine.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. All right. And to my listeners, thank you for listening and watching, and we'll connect with you again later. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to head over to RevKarenPodcast.com. That's R-E-V-K-A-R-E-N podcast.com. There you're going to find the tools for finding more meaning and happiness in your own life. Plus, if you have a story that you want to share with me, either on or off the air, be sure to look for that form. Make sure you follow me so you get notified when new episodes drop. And also, I'd love to connect with you in my Facebook group, Connectedness with Rev Karen. So head over to RevKarenPodcast.com. I hope to see you there.